This episode will hopefully serve as a beginner's guide to cigar pairing with whiskey and get you guys caught up on some of the things that I've learned so far from the Perfect Pairing podcast that I now do as well. But before we get to that, hello, my name is Chris, and you are listening to the Whiskey Noobs podcast for those of you who are new here and did not know that. Another thing that I want to take a brief moment to mention is Blind Barrels, because I love working with Blind Barrels, and I want to mention how great their program is. If you don't know what Blind Barrels is, basically you sign up for a subscription. They send you four different blind tasting samples that you get to taste. The samples are usually unique, and they're usually whiskeys that are hard to get your hands on, but you can order those whiskeys through Blind Barrels, so you can still get your hands on them, especially if you like them. So I just want to take a moment and say that. And I do have some announcements that will be difficult to say, but I'm just going to dive right into it. So, due to, I guess, unforeseen, up until very recently, unforeseen circumstances, I will be pausing or suspending the Whiskey Noobs podcast for the foreseeable future. Maybe forever. I hope not forever. But next episode will be the last episode, at least for a while, which will be episode 156, if I remember correctly. Will be the last episode for a while, and I'm going to have more details in that episode, more things, answering more of the questions that you guys probably want to know. But for now, all you need to know is that everything's okay. Everyone's okay. There's no, like, bad or sad or scary news that accompanies that. And I would keep the podcast going if I was capable of it. I want you guys to know that as well. And I feel like maybe there was something else that I wanted to say, but if it comes back to me, I will let you guys know. So that might be a little bit unexpected for you guys. I know it's definitely unexpected for me because, like I said, a lot has been going on in the background that I'll get a little bit more into next episode that has made this appear to be necessary. So I don't know how far into detail. I don't want to get too in the weeds here. If I try to improv it, then it's all going to come out wrong. So I'll have more information on that for the next episode, which will be a Q&A episode, and once again will be the last episode. So if you guys do have any questions, though, feel free to just shoot me a DM or shoot me an email, whiskeynoobspodcast@gmail.com, and I will help answer, field any questions, or maybe gather up questions and then do some FAQs on the Instagram if that, you know, if it seems to be appropriate, if there's enough repeating questions. So it's bittersweet. I do truly think that I will be able to bring you guys better content, and I guess the only other thing that I'll say for right now is I feel like I'm giving you guys a lot of content, but not necessarily the best content, not necessarily the most engaging content. I don't get to reply to a lot of comments. I don't get to answer a lot of DMs. So I think this is going to be an improvement for the better. That's the plan. That's the hope. And like patrons as well, there's other things that I'm working on in the background to hopefully get some of that figured out. So there's a lot of plans that I will talk about in the next episode, and some of you guys might already know. I might tell the patrons beforehand because you guys have been supporting the show for so long, and I feel that you might be getting the shortest end of the stick here, but I'm hoping to flip this to make some value for you guys. So all of that's a long-winded way of saying this has been a great ride, and I will give you guys more information in the next episode, so just, I guess, hold your questions until then, and I will hopefully answer everything in next week's episode. So along with answering your guys' Q&As, because I will still be doing that. All right. I took longer to say that than I thought I was going to, and I'm sure next week is just going to be a lot of rambling. But thank you guys so much for everything, for getting this far, and for everything we've built. And I'm not going anywhere in terms of social media and things like that. There's a lot going on over there that I still am going to be working on. Once again, hoping to make better content. So hopefully this will all turn out in a way that you guys actually prefer. That's the plan. We'll see how that goes. So, all right. I'm really rambling now. So thank you guys so much for everything so far. Let's get into pairing cigars with whiskey. Now, the first thing you'll notice if you're watching the video version is that I am in my garage studio, which I use for the Perfect Pairing podcast. The second thing that you'll notice is there's only one camera angle, at least thus far, and there will only be one camera angle for the remainder of the episode because I'm in my garage studio and I don't have the ability for two cameras yet. Working on that type of stuff. I also am working on being able to film more content out here because I want to do some cigar content and things like that. The reason we're in the garage studio is because we are smoking a cigar today. And let me explain what we're smoking, what we're drinking, and why we are smoking and drinking these things. So, on the Perfect Pairing podcast, there was an episode where we had Ardbeg 10-year, heavily peated scotch, and we had it with a Maduro cigar, the GTO La Cura. And what was amazing about it is it took away the harshness of the peat smoke. It made it very approachable, very easy to drink the Ardbeg. And I thought that was a really interesting interaction. I thought that was a really important lesson learned because I did not know that a cigar could take away the peat smoke that much. It made Ardbeg so approachable. It was beyond anything that I had really realized a pairing could do. That was one of the most extreme examples of a pairing that I had had. And so I thought it was a really good example, and I wanted to somewhat recreate that. Now, I don't know. Okay, a lot going on in my brain lately. I don't know why. I thought Dewar's 12 had a little bit more peat to it than it does. It has a light peatiness to it. For some reason, I the white label has a lot of peatiness to it. And I was thinking it was more in that ballpark. But we have Dewar's 12-year for this episode, which has a little bit of peat to it. And we also, and it's also much less expensive than Ardbeg 12-year. We also have a Brickhouse Maduro cigar, which is a lot less expensive, I think. I don't actually know for sure. I think it's less expensive than the one we had in the Perfect Pairing podcast. And very, very accessible, available. Almost all brick-and-mortar shops that I've been to have had the Brickhouse lineup. So should be very accessible. And also, I'm hoping not quite as dark as that La Cura that we had in the Perfect Pairing podcast, because I want to try to recreate this semi-budget version. I think there's a couple things we're going to learn from that. Well, there's one very important thing we're going to learn from that. Either a similar thing is going to happen, where the maltiness the peatiness like completely goes away, or something totally different is going to happen. And either way, I think we're going to learn something. But I also want to walk through some of the things that I've learned on Perfect Pairing Podcast to hopefully help you guys with your cigar and whiskey pairings, because I know how much fun it is to pair things. That's why we came out with the Perfect Pairing Podcast, and I'm hoping to condense the lessons that we've learned so far. I think we've recorded maybe 8 or 10 episodes, somewhere in that ballpark, I think. So I've learned some lessons, and I want to help share that with you guys. So without further ado, I'm going to drink the Dewar's first, because... great cork pop on that bottle. I'm going to drink the Dewar's first because I haven't done a full review of it before, so I want to talk about what I'm tasting before I get into this cigar. And as I'm doing that, I'm going to talk about some of the things that I've just learned from doing Perfect Pairing. Ooh, very nice nose to it. Shout out to Derek. I don't know if you're listening, but Derek recommended this bottle for the podcast, and I was like, ooh, that's a good idea. Let me see if I can work it in somewhere. And then I was like, I want to do a cigar pairing. This is a perfect opportunity to use the Dewar's. So that's why I chose this one. And I tried it, and it's really good. And so I want to talk a little bit about Dewar's. I've heard people say, you know, like it's like the Jack Daniels of Scotch. And I don't think that's an entirely fair comparison, because Jack Daniels, while still a solid whiskey, if you guys know me, you know I drink a lot of Jack Daniels. People say it almost as if it's like Jack Daniels is like gimmicky, or it's not actually as good as it people think it is. It's one of those that's just overhyped, I guess. And I don't think that's necessarily the case for Dewar's, in the case that it still has complex flavors, and they're still pretty in line with other scotches that I've had, whereas Jack Daniels has a pretty distinct Jack Daniels flavor. And I think because of that, Jack Daniels is a victim to kind of this overhype, and it just has such a big brand name, so much marketing behind it. I don't think Dewar's is really like that. I'm pretty sure I looked up how to pronounce Dewar's, and I really hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. But you guys know how I am with scotch names. But I don't think it's victim to that same type of marketing. I think Dewar's is solid, and I think it knows what it is in its price range. Like, it's not, at least the 12-year and the white label, they're not these insanely high-end whiskeys, but they're good for their price. They're really enjoyable for how cheap they are. And when I tried this 12-year, I was like, wow, I'm really enjoying this for how cheap it is, which is why I wanted to have it on the show. So all that being said, I'm going to do a quick tasting of it, quick nose, quick palate, quick finish, and then quick finish was a weird thing for me to say, but it made me stumble a little bit, if I'm being honest. But I'm going to run through a very quick review of it, and then we'll get into the cigar pairing. But I want to do it before I have any cigar at all, and I'm going to do that right now. Nose is malty. It's got a honey and maybe even a little bit of citrus to it. There might be a light peat on the nose, but it's so light that it could even just kind of be mixed in with that maltiness and like the kind of funkiness of the malt. This has the malt flavor that's somewhat funky like Monkey Shoulder has. Let's dive into the palate. Oh, man. I think maybe there's a light peat smoke, maybe, but it's light. This actually is just very full-bodied, and the last time I tried it was a little while ago, to be clear. It's very full-bodied, very complex flavors in this price range. I'm kind of gaining even more respect for this. I remembered that I liked it, but wow, that has a pretty full body is the only word that I'm coming up with, a very full-bodied flavor. Like, it's still very smooth, but there's a lot of body going on. There's definitely that malt, there's a little bit of a funk, there's a little bit of a citrus, some honey, maybe it's more of like a brown sugar. It's like a little darker than honey, or like a dark honey. You know how sometimes honeys are lighter or darker? It's like got that more dark flavor to it. Very, like a lot of pop of flavor on that first sip. I'm very impressed by it so far. Since I do have to review this rather quickly, I'm going to run through what they say on their website about it first. And then we'll get into the cigar pairing. So what do they say? Actually, they only put three flavor notes. They put floral, spice, and rich fruit. So very, very limited flavor notes on their website. Oh, here's a little bit more. So they have flavor notes, but then up above in the paragraph, looks like they say something. Indulge your curiosity and discover a whiskey double-aged in first-fill bourbon casks with a far greater breadth and depth of flavor, with vibrant notes of apples and citrus on the nose, lush floral notes on the palate, and a butterscotch and vanilla on the finish. Butterscotch is a better sweetness descriptor than honey, like I was saying. And then apples, citrus. Yeah, I definitely think citrus. I'm not so sure about the apple. I guess you could say that. But yeah, so those are the flavor notes they give you on their website. And then just the quick stats of this. This is a 12-year-old scotch. It is blended. It's, they say, double-aged in first-fill bourbon casks. So put in a first-fill, take it out, put in another first-fill to get as much of that flavor as you can. This is 40% alcohol by volume. And, oh, interesting. So they age rare malts and grains separately and then blend them and then put them in first fill bourbon casks. That's actually interesting. Okay. All right. I didn't even know that, and I got that from the bottle. So that's pretty cool. Now let's get into pairing with cigars and what I've learned so far on the Perfect Pairing podcast. I've learned a lot, okay, and it's enough that I feel like I can be dangerous and I feel like I can tell you something about it, but it's also a lot of what I have learned is that a lot of this is not straightforward, not nearly as straightforward as I thought it was going to be. And so there's a lot of lessons we can take away from it. Lesson number one, because it's so not straightforward, I would say is if you're learning to pair and if you have a cigar that you smoke regularly and you want to find a good pairing for, right away try like three super different whiskeys. That's what we do on the podcast. And a lot of times it has the best whiskey, we rank them at the end, the best one has been one that I did not expect to be the best one whenever I set up the pairings. So that's happened a couple times. There's been one where I just threw it in there because it was different. And I was like, that's probably not going to go well with this cigar. And then it was our favorite. Super weird. Ardbeg was a great example of that. Didn't expect it to go very well, and it went really well. So, didn't expect any of that. It's pretty strange, but that's step number one. That's lesson number one, is try a few different whiskeys, especially if you're not sure. If you have a cigar that you have often, because you're like, I love this cigar, I want to find a good pairing for it. Try a few different whiskeys with it. Be responsible. Don't be driving or anything like that. And then go from there. And then from there, you can kind of narrow it down. You can say, okay, I think the single malt went really well with this. I just made a video on Instagram not long ago where I was like, okay, a bourbon went really well with this. Let's try three different bourbons. I tried three different ones. I said, okay, the wheated bourbon was my favorite. Let's try three different wheated bourbons. And I said, okay, this is my favorite wheated bourbon. That's how I would recommend going about that. If you have a specific cigar in mind, I'm going to try to give you guys ideas if you don't have a specific cigar. So like if you just go to the lounge, you grab a cigar and you grab a whiskey. I'm going to try to give you recommendations, but I can tell you first and foremost that it can be very surprising what ends up actually happening. All right, I'm going to actually light this and then we'll get started. Ooh. This Brick House Maduro. So Brick House, I don't think I've ever had the Maduro before, but just Brick House in general, they are relatively inexpensive compared to a lot of cigars, and they're very widely available. And I usually just like them. Like, usually they're not like anything that blows me away, and I'm like, this is the best cigar I've ever had in my life. But typically, I'm like, this is good. This is solid. I would smoke this. I think I actually bought a pack of these because I was going camping with some buddies. And I was like, these are something that are not so expensive that I feel like I'm in pain handing them out. But they're also good enough that I'm okay handing them out. Like, I don't think people are going to be all upset and disappointed. So Brick House is like, what's a good comparison? It's like Evan Williams Bottled and Bond of cigars. Inexpensive. You can find it anywhere. And it's just good. It's not, you know, the most professional, amazing, you give it as like a wedding present, but it's good. And you could give this as a wedding present because on your wedding night, you're not paying too much attention to the cigar that you're smoking. So actually, take that back. Could be a wedding gift. Now, let's talk pairings. The next thing that I've learned about pairing is finishes. We do a lot of different finished whiskeys on the show, from finished bourbons. I think we haven't done a finished rye quite yet, I don't think. And a lot of American single malts that have wild finishes on them. And we even did a Maker's Mark Master Select. No, not Maker's Mark. Woodford Reserve. Sorry, I always want to say Maker's Mark. Woodford Reserve Master's Select, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, it was a relatively expensive bourbon with a lot of wild finish going on. And I can firmly say, I think the ones batting closest to 1,000 are finishes. Because no matter what happens, something interesting happens. So a whiskey that has a strong finish to it usually does something interesting with the cigar, at least so far on our show. So far, you want something that has something a little bit unique going on. The other thing that I've learned, and this is more of a personal note, is bourbons or whiskeys that I especially love, that I've had a bunch of times, I know exactly how they taste. You got to be careful pairing with those, because I usually find myself disappointed. And if you've listened to the episode, you've probably heard me say this a bunch of times. It's actually not the bourbon or what I'm drinking. It's that I know how much I love it and how great it is and how interesting it is when it's by itself. So then when I have it with the cigar, unless it does something really interesting, I'm usually disappointed. Because a lot of times it'll get a little bit muted, especially if the cigar is a little fuller bodied, a little spicier. And so then I end up a little bit disappointed in the whiskey because I'm like, I know how good you are when I don't have you with a cigar. And that part, so that it can be a little bit difficult when pairing with a whiskey that you really like. That being said, I mentioned, especially if it's a fuller body cigar, this is a general rule that I've given before, and it still stands. If you go with a really full-bodied cigar, if your whiskey has a body to it, your cigar has a body to it. Whichever one's bigger, most of the time, and this is not always, but most of the time, it's going to dominate. If your cigar is full-bodied and your whiskey has a light body, a lot of times a cigar is going to dominate. If you've got a full-bodied, spiced, high rye bourbon, spicy, not spiced, spicy, high rye bourbon, and you're pairing it with a light Connecticut cigar, a lot of times the bourbon's going to overpower the cigar. Weirdly, just a couple episodes ago, that episode might not even be out yet, I don't know for sure, we had a very light-bodied whiskey with a pretty heavy-bodied cigar, and it was the weirdest thing. They, like, didn't interact at all. Like, it was like the whiskey still tasted exactly like the whiskey. The cigar still tasted exactly like the cigar for both me and Adam. Even though we went back and forth, cigar, whiskey, they still tasted the same. It was wild. So that can happen. But as a general rule, whichever one you want, you don't want to have muted at all, that one should be a little bit fuller bodied than the other. Now, let me try some of this Dewars and see what's happening here. No matter what, we're going to learn something. I can guarantee you that. Oh, wow. Let me do that again. What a nice pop of that fruity sweetness. So, while this is not nearly as peaty as Ardbeg is, it's still got a similar thing happening where the malty funk, and maybe if there was any peat there, maybe a little bit of that, it's all like gone, and it has made the fruitiness of the whiskey just pop. We've gone, you know, I said it was mostly citrus in the beginning, and the citrus is definitely still there, but we've gone away from the plum or the apple and stuff and straight to like almost a plum or like a stone fruit or something a little bit darker, maybe even a berry. It reminds me of like a wine finish. This isn't wine finished of scotch. This scotch isn't wine finished at all. But it reminds me of that. Where it's got like that dark fruit to it. Very interesting. I'm excited to dig in a little bit more with this cigar. I got to keep it going. I like to gab a lot, and I got to keep this cigar going. About let it go out. It's just barely alive. Let me tell you something. If you think solo podcasting is difficult, solo podcasting with a cigar and trying to keep the cigar lit, insanely difficult. Good smoke volume off of this cigar, though, too. Wow. Now, specifically from the cigar, I'm getting very general Maduro notes. There's a sweetness to it, a leather, a little bit of a cocoa. There's definitely a little bit leaning away from like an oakiness and more towards like a sawdust type of wood flavor, which I could be wrong about this, and I'm learning a lot on this podcast, but on the Perfect Pairing podcast. But I think I usually get the note that I like to call sawdust. I usually get it from slightly less expensive cigars. And maybe it's not sawdust. Maybe somebody who knows more about cigars could be like, oh, he's talking about this. But that's just what it reminds me of. But overall, good flavor, good solid body, general Maduro notes. Like I said, it's just a solid cigar. Now let me do the opposite here. I'm going to take a sip of the whiskey and then taste the cigar again and then see if the cigar really changes at all. I think the cigar is holding pretty strong. Maybe it has more of a deep, like a richer chocolate, more of a dark chocolate type of a note to it. But overall, nothing super crazy happening to the cigar. The whiskey still has that fruity pop to it. I got to get a little bit more because I didn't pour very much. But I will say it's starting to get slightly muted as I'm getting farther into this cigar. The flavor of the whiskey overall, trying to get that cork too loud. The flavor of the whiskey overall is getting a little bit muted. It's getting a little bit harder to taste all of those different notes, which this is a nicely complex scotch for being, I think, like $30. Let me look it up. I don't want to be wrong. But I'm pretty sure in Ohio it's like maybe $33. Dewar's 12-year. $34. So the same price as Monkey Shoulder. And while I think Monkey Shoulder might have a little bit more going on, this is in that same league. It's definitely not a complete blowout. I think it might actually just be a matter of preference. Monkey Shoulder's a little bit sweeter, a little bit more granola-y, whereas this is a little bit more oaky, a little bit more of a darker sweetness, less of a honey, more of a butterscotch, like they had said on their website. Maybe even a brown sugar, I'd venture to say. So similar league, just different flavor profiles. All right, let me dig one more. I'm going to go back and forth one more time, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some lessons learned. So the next thing that I think I can say is Well, at least what I know I can say is that I'm 2 for 2 on full-bodied, somewhat funky scotches going well with Maduros. So that's not a hard and fast rule. That's just my experience so far, and especially for my palate. But so far, so good. And I'm really happy that this pairing worked out because these are both relatively inexpensive. This is a nice pairing for a budget, like on a budget. The next thing that I want to say is I've mentioned a bunch of times how it's not intuitive, right? Something else that's really not intuitive about pairing cigars and whiskey is that it's not always, oh, lighter whiskeys go well with this cigar. Let me give you an example. We had a cigar that I think the cigar was a little bit lighter, and we had, I think it was Bruichladdich with it, which is a very light scotch, and it went really well with it. And then we had Redwood Empire's Lost Monarch. Now, this is a very different flavor profile from the Bruichladdich, but it's still light. It's got a little bit of a spice, a little bit of an oak to it, but it's still lighter. So you would think that they would score at least similarly. Totally different. It did not go well with that cigar. We had it later with a different cigar. I forget if it was a full-bodied cigar or not. We had it later with a different cigar, and it was phenomenal. So it wasn't the whiskey. It was just the pairing. And that is something that's totally not intuitive because I have always thought, up until making this podcast, I've always thought, in general, you know, you can kind of group by body. Light body whiskey goes with this cigar. Fuller bodied whiskey goes with that cigar. Nope, that has not been the case. It really depends on probably depends on what's going on, like, chemically within the whiskey, the different compounds that are giving it its flavors. Because you can have similar flavored whiskeys and they don't, not actually like flavored whiskeys, but whiskeys with similar flavored notes, and they do not pair the same way with a cigar. Another thing that's just fully not intuitive about pairings. The next thing I want to say is that a lot of whiskeys and a lot of our pairings get muted. I've noticed this time and time again where we just keep saying that we'll get a whiskey like almost every episode. Sometimes we have some really killer episodes where all three of the whiskeys work out great, and that's fantastic. But a lot of times we'll get a whiskey where we'll say, I think it's just getting pretty muted. And I've noticed that it seems to me that the whiskey loses its body quicker than the cigar does. And what I mean by that is almost never, at least most of the time, we don't say the cigar is getting very muted. It might be that one or two notes within the cigar are getting muted and other ones are getting elevated. And by muted, I mean they're just harder to notice. They're not quite there. That might happen, but more often it seems like the whiskey gets dulled down a little bit. It mellows out. And I want to say that because I want to tell people that have had pairings, and I used to do this before I started the Perfect Pairing podcast, or before Adam and I started it. I used to just have pairings, and I'd be like, I guess this is just pairings, you know, like this. I can't taste the whiskey very much, but in general, it tastes good. Like, the pairing as a whole tastes good, so whatever. Now that I've tried enough, I can definitively tell you that happens quite often. But there are some pairings out there that will knock your socks off. There are some out there that they just get elevated so nicely, and nice factors of the whiskey get elevated and you really notice it and they really pop. That's actually kind of happening here with this Dewars, where sure, the maltiness is getting a little bit mellowed out. It's kind of going away. But there's like a fruity pop to it now that wasn't there before. So don't just brute force it and say like, oh, you know, I think because of the heaviness of the smoke, whiskey just always goes away. That's not necessarily the case. Now, if you have some insanely strong cigar, maybe, I haven't tried it yet, but maybe that would be the case. But usually it's not. Usually there's a good pairing, and we have 3 per episode. Usually at least one of them works out. So don't just brute force it and think, this just doesn't taste great, but pairings just don't taste great. Don't just assume that, first of all. And there was something else I wanted to say. I thought of it while I was saying that, and now I need to rethink of it. Let me puff my cigar and think about that. Okay, I remember it now. Didn't take very much cigar smoking. So we always talk about there's 3 different types of pairings. There's an antagonistic pairing where one thing gets elevated and the other one does not. Complementary pairings, where the cigar and the whiskey are both having something within them elevated, something within them is being brought to the next level. And then there's an ultra pairing, where some new flavor is coming out of them that you would not normally get by themselves. Like, you couldn't get it from them by themselves, but some new flavor is happening. And those are the most rare. That being said, and this is something I didn't really think of until we had a few experiences with it, antagonistic does not always mean bad, complementary does not always mean good, and ultra does not always mean good. And I think I knew that. I'm sure I knew that beforehand. But when you experience it, it's a whole different thing. Because when you experience it, you're so quick to say, this doesn't taste right. It must be antagonistic. And you're like, wait a minute. But both of them don't taste good. They're both having something within them that's not good elevated. Maybe the bourbon has a little bit of a charred flavor to it and the cigar has a little bit of a charred flavor to it. And then they're both getting to the level of just like day-old bonfire that was rained on. And you're like, oh, it's like so strong. It's elevated. They're complementing each other in that way, but they taste bad. That's very possible. Even an ultra pairing. You can have an ultra pairing where you're getting a new flavor you've never got from either of them. This whiskey is very honey and citrus, and this cigar is very toast and light wood and almond. And I put them both together and I get chemicals or I get just nasty sawdust or something. That can happen as well. I don't know that we've even had that happen yet, but we've talked about it because we've come close. A lot of times these things aren't like distinct categories. It's kind of like a spectrum. They kind of blend together. And we've talked about how, you know, I didn't really notice that before the pairing, but now I'm noticing it and I don't like it. And then you go back to just the whiskey or just the cigar and you're like, okay, I guess it is there, but at least I didn't notice it before this pairing. That's another thing that I've noticed. So it's not always a good thing to have complementary or ultra. And a lot of times we've had a lot of antagonistic pairings that are pretty darn good. Because if I love the way this Brick House tastes, I need to puff it to keep it going right now. If I love the way this Brick House tastes and I get a very elevated scotch with it, but the Brick House just stays the same, it's technically antagonistic because the scotch is doing something the Brick House isn't. But it's a good pairing. It could be a pairing that I love. And we've had a few that have scored. We do rankings, like I said. We also do ratings in every episode between 1 and 10 or 0 and 10. And we've had some really high-ranking antagonistic pairings, high-rated antagonistic pairings. So that can happen as well. So I guess to kind of try to bring it all full circle here, what I'm trying to say is there are some general rules that will really help guide you, like I said, with the body and things like that. But none of them are without their exceptions, and I hate to say it, but none of them are without often exceptions. You get these type of exceptions often. In general, like I guess they're kind of a rule of thumb because probably about 50% of the time they work. And that's pretty high, right? Like 50, if you know, coin flip as to whether or not this rule is going to hold place. Like say a full-bodied cigar with a lighter whiskey, the full-bodied cigar is going to pop more and the light whiskey is going to get muted. If you want to consider that a rule, it's about a coin flip as to whether or not that's going to be the case. I mentioned that good finishes a lot of times pair nicely. I say that because maybe 50%, maybe a little more than 50% of our heavily finished whiskeys that we've had have been really good pairings, maybe a little bit more than 50%. But I say that because a lot of other whiskeys, like if I just pick a random bourbon to pick on, I'm just going to say Buffalo Trace because we haven't had it. So I'm making this up. Let's say Buffalo Trace. A lot of pairings aren't going to be good with it, and some of them are going to be phenomenal with it. But it's weird that it doesn't happen quite that often. So I say that because it's kind of a rule of thumb, but it's still only like a 50, maybe 75% rule of thumb. It's just so much more common than anything else that I consider it a good rule of thumb. Hopefully that came out in a coherent way. That's a hard thing to describe, but I think we got the point across. So not super intuitive. There are some rules of thumb that I recommend you guys follow. And I guess the biggest thing is to get your reps in. And this episode wasn't meant to be an ad for the Perfect Pairing Podcast. It was actually truly meant to condense a lot of these lessons for you guys, especially if you don't want to listen to the Perfect Pairing Podcast, so that you can just have some rules of thumb. I know a lot of people's cigars are very casual, especially a lot of my whiskey drinkers, a lot of the guys I'm friends with. Cigars are just very casual compared to whiskey, and that's totally okay. So I'm condensing this for that reason. However, and this wasn't meant to be an ad. I didn't even plan to say this, but it's just making sense with what's happening right now. If you do want to get more serious about your pairings and you want to get more into cigars, I highly recommend trying very different styles of whiskey with different cigars relatively regularly. And this is where I'm going to plug it. listening to the Perfect Pairing podcast will help with that. But you don't have to. This can also just be your new Friday relaxation thing. Is after work, you go to your local lounge and you have a cigar with like two whiskeys or maybe three. Just be very careful. Once again, don't drink and drive. But maybe that's your new thing. My point is, it's really helpful to try that. I do recommend the Perfect Pairing podcast because that's why we put it together. So of course I'm going to recommend it. But you also don't have to go that route if you don't want to. That's my point. And if you are going to do the Perfect Pairing podcast, I have to shamelessly plug the Perfect Pairing Club because I truly think it's a fantastic value. I don't know how Adam was able to make it happen for as cheap as he does because he handles that side of things. It's $30 a month, and you get four or five cigars, I believe. You get one cigar per week, and it's $30 a month. So it's a really good deal, and then you can smoke them right alongside us on the podcast. That's the only plug that I'm going to do. I'm not trying to plug the Perfect Pairing podcast. It's just kind of where the conversation went. I want to talk about lessons that I've learned. And so those are most of the lessons that I have learned. I wish I could tell you I've got all these hard and fast rules now that work really well. But based on my experience, anybody who tells you that is very much exaggerating. If they're like, use these rules when you're pairing this, 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 and they're always going to work, I think they're exaggerating to you. I probably let this go out again. Let me see if I did. I did, so I'm just going to set it down. I think they're exaggerating to you at the least, and at the worst, they might just be making things up that they think, but they haven't actually put into practice. Because when I tell you so much of what I thought was intuitive about pairing has been shattered in this experience, I truly mean it. And that's why if you really are worried about getting good at pairing, you got to put in some reps. You don't even have to listen to Perfect Pairing. Just it could be your new Friday night every time you're playing poker with the boys, whatever it is. But you have to get some of those reps in to really get it. And I'm not even, like I said, 8 or 10 episodes. That's 3 whiskeys an episode. That's almost 30 whiskeys and 10 cigars. And I'm still not there yet. I'm still not like I can just call out what's going to be a great pairing. But I'm getting there, and I'm getting some of these rules like I'm talking about. And I really just want to help cut down on that sort of, I don't want to call it false advertising, but that false sense of hard and fast rules. Maybe there are some out there. I'm not saying everybody who's ever given to you is full of it. I'm just saying that in general, it has been very unintuitive. And I'm sure there's some science out there. I'm sure there's some people out there who have put in way more reps than me that have pretty good rules of thumb. I'm just saying that people who are like, especially nowadays in the age of TikTok, where they're going to stop you, they're going to say, do this, this, and this, and it's always going to work. Those guys are full of it, I think. Or they're misleading themselves and you, and that can be the case as well. Maybe they don't even mean badly by it. But in general, that's what I'm trying to get across here. And I hope some of the rules help you guys, and I think they will, and I think they at least give you a starting point. But overall, and people hate my response when I say how to get good at tasting whiskey, I say, taste a couple different ones. Try them side by side if you can. I hate to say it, it's the same for pairing. If you have a good cigar that you have regularly, try a few different whiskeys. Try them side by side if you can. Maybe try them blind. We haven't done that yet, but maybe try them blind. And that's going to be, I think, your best bet for how to do this. So a lot of rules to say that not all those rules are great, but it's where we're at so far with pairing cigars. And I think pairing cigars and whiskey is a very difficult thing to get good at, but that's what makes it so much fun. So I want to finish on the hopeful note that it's so much fun. I have been having a blast doing it both on the show, and I've been making, I made an Instagram video about it, hopefully some more to come. And I've just been doing it in my free time because it's that much fun. And I think it's a really good new horizon, especially if you found, oh, I'm getting a little bit, I don't want to say bored with whiskey, but I feel like I've learned so much that I'm not really having that experience of, holy cow, this was unexpected. That's a good way to get that experience back. Only if you're into cigars. I'm not trying to say you should be getting into cigars. I'm certainly not a doctor. But I do think that's a fun new horizon. At least it has been for me. I think it could be for you, and that is why I wanted to put this episode together. I think it's a very hopeful note for us to end on. Once again, I'll have more information next episode about everything being paused, and I just want you guys to know the plan is for all of this to be good for me and good for you. Good for me and my schedule, and also a little bit just my free time and let's just say mental health. I'm not going to be that guy who throws that around too much, but trying not to get too burnout and then making you guys better content because I'm not burnout and hopefully talking more with you guys, interacting more with you guys, forming better relationships with you guys. That is the overall goal of all of this. More information to come in the next episode. Hopefully you learned a little something about pairing cigars and whiskey, and you learned a little something about this Dewar's 12-year. If you only take one thing away from this episode from the whiskey standpoint, is that this is worth giving a try, especially if you can find it at a bar. Relatively inexpensive, tasty, tasty scotch. 12 years old, sure it's blended, but it's blended well. People forget about how awesome the art of blending is, and I think this does it some pretty good justice, as does Monkey Shoulder. That's all I can say. I could say more, but I gotta stop at some point. Thank you guys for listening. I will leave you with learn to drink, drink to learn. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Whiskey Noobs. If you need more Whiskey Noobs content in your life, make sure you check out our Patreon page in the show notes. And if you like the show, please make sure to leave a 5-star rating or review. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they're way more helpful than people realize. If you want to do tastings alongside the show, make sure you join the email list by sending an email to whiskeynoobspodcast@gmail.com with a subject line that says email list. You'll receive monthly emails with a list of the whiskeys that will be featured throughout the month so that you can buy them ahead of time. You can also find more Whiskey Noobs content on Instagram @whiskey_noobs and on TikTok @whiskeynoobspodcast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. The Whiskey Noobs podcast does not support underage or otherwise irresponsible consumption of alcohol.